want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Brevard County. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio program. And, you know, we've been pastoring Merritt Assembly of God for 32 and a half years. And when our kids were little, there was a daycare right down the street from us. And they approached us and asked if they could hold their preschool graduation at our church. And so we made that possible, and there was a lady, she known as Aunt Wani, and many of you might have known her. We met a lot of fine Christian people, and I attended her funeral several years ago. But she always made St. Patrick's Day an event for the kids in the daycare. And so we had two of our children that attended there. Even after they moved to a different location over in Cocoa, they still attended there for a while. And she would make green eggs and ham for the daycare students on St. Patrick's Day. And I don't know what you have planned today, but I hope that at our house we have corned beef and cabbage, and my wife grew up on eating that, and so hope you have a great day. Want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. You know, there's a lot of construction that is going on in Brevard County, and over the past couple of months here in 2025, I've traveled to parts of the county that I hadn't been to in many years, and as I did, I saw new construction that was going up, new construction that had gone up. Every one of those buildings had to have the right foundation for it to be able to be built according to standards, so that it could withstand the storms of life. And we try and build a good foundation spiritually, but if you are got a construction project that you want the foundation to be right, or if you've got sidewalks that need to be poured, or a slab that needs to be poured, maybe you are going to store an RV or something in an area of the county where you're permitted to do that, Jits Concrete has decades and decades of expertise in knowing what to do. You want to get that right. You don't want somebody who is guessing at what they're doing. You want someone who really does. I heard a quote that says amateurs do something until they get it right. Professionals continue to do something until they can't get it wrong. Jits Concrete has decades of experience. They have a great work ethic, and if they work all throughout the county. 321-536-5804. The Anderson family's been part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have, and I've referred them to a number of people, and they keep using them because they do great work. 321-536-5804. We thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. So today I'm going to go ahead and compact the reading here. We started touching on this on Friday's program, but I'm just going to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, because I think that's all of the information that we're going to be able to get to in today's program. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1 reads this way: "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So there's a place and a time for discussions about the things that we're talking about. These would be classified as spiritual elementary school. They're foundational. If you want to understand how God's kingdom impacts you for eternity, but also impacts you in your current life, you've got to get an understanding of these things. And I can tell you that you've got to have the right teacher. It matters where you go to school spiritually. It really does. I've heard people say, I don't really care about what the theology is of a place as long as they have the programs that I want. Well, you can end up, you know, hopefully the place that they end up is a place that is going to be solid theologically. They're going to know the Word of God, and they're going to proclaim the Word of God. But as you can see across the headlines, there are a lot of places that do not do that. They have not held the Word of God to be the ultimate standard. They have tried to transform the Word of God to fit their culture instead of changing their culture to fit the Word of God. And so these things are important. They might not be exciting. They might not be flashy, but they're absolutely essential. So on Friday, we started talking about the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. There were a number of times in the Bible where laying on of hands was talked about. And so if you were to go over just a few pages to the right of where we are in Hebrews chapter 6, you could see that there is the prayer for the sick. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. When we pray for the sick, we anoint them with oil. That means we're laying hands on them. We're praying for them that God will raise them up. And so you can see that in that case. There was also a time when laying on of hands was done when a person was being commissioned or ordained to an office, be that as a priest or be that as a king. They would also anoint them with oil. They'd lay hands on them. They would pray for them that they would fulfill their responsibilities in a godly manner. Well, there was also Paul writes to Timothy and admonishes him to stir up the gift that is in him through the laying on of the hands of the elders. And so, excuse me just a second. Here I'm trying to get my pages to turn. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so, whenever we walk in relationship with one another, and so I am a huge believer in having authority over that everyone has someone in authority over them. And I've told you that even the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, he has authority over him, because we've had people in those positions and they got into some doctrinal error. This goes back 100 years or so, and they removed them from their office. They repented. They came back into line theologically, and because we serve a forgiving God, they actually reselected that person back to that position, and he didn't make those doctrinal errors after that. And so when we do life together, there are people who will recognize the call of God on our lives, recognize the giftings of God, and so they will pray over us. So one of the things that happened to me when I was ordained was that they laid hands on me. They prayed over me. I've had other times when I've been at the altar, there's a picture that shows up on my social media reminder where a friend of mine took a picture of me responding to an altar call at a general council, and one of the leading voices in the Assemblies of God at that I had never met. I didn't even know. I was just focused on seeking God, but he came up and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and he's now been promoted into the presence of Jesus. I have a friend that knew him personally. He said, "Oh, he was a great man of God." I've got another friend, and we attended a college reunion together, and come to find out he attended the same college that I did several years earlier. So it's not about what I think about myself. It is other people recognizing the call of God on your life and says, we want to be there and hold you up in prayer, and we want to be hands-on in ministry, not hands-off in ministry. So too many people have the mindset of when they're doing their life, don't touch me. You know, you see that many times in an acrimonious situation, people say, get your hands off me. You don't lay a hand on me or you're going to regret it. Well, you know, that's fine in a acrimonious setting, but in our spiritual journey, we need to make sure we're not in this thing alone. So I've told you through the years, I've got people that I go to make sure that I am in the right position theologically. I don't want to get into heresy. I don't want to be an embarrassment to my king, to my wife, to my church, or to my family. I want to represent him well. And so people have a hands-on. When I go to the doctor, I hope he doesn't have to get, or she has to get, too hands-on, because that means that there's something that they have found that needs to be removed. But I know that if they do, even if it's painful, it is going to be for my best interest later on, because it's going to remove something that could be toxic to my personality or to the health of my being. And so I don't want them to tell them, no, don't you touch me, because many times they have perspective that I don't have. A lot of times my dermatologist will say, have you noticed any changes on your back? And it was like, my eyes are not good back there. You know, I can't see back there. And so, and besides that, I don't have a photographic memory, so I wouldn't know what goes on. And so I'm very thankful for the scrutiny that my dermatologist has provided through the years, because it's a hands-on medical process where they examine things at a magnified level to make sure that there's nothing that could kill me that is impacting my skin. So Paul says, Timothy, I laid hands on you, and there is a gift of God that is inside of you, and you need to stir that up. And so if you do your spiritual journey with a person of spiritual authority, you may find that there is an impartation from God that takes place in your life, and then it's your responsibility to keep it stirred up, to keep it active, to keep it vibrant, to keep it fresh, to keep it increasing. And so I know that there's people who have impartation services and things like that, but I will tell you, the impartation comes from God. It comes through, you know, people doing their spiritual journey together. And it says to, like to Timothy, you've got a part in the kingdom of God. And God not only gives you the responsibility, he not only gives you the position or the placement, but he gives you the resources that you need to be able to fulfill that. So in the book of Acts, there was also a revival that took place. There was a guy by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. He became a believer. He had been a person of great influence in the city until the gospel arrived. And then people rejected, you know, his wizardry, and they started seeing signs and wonders. The disciples came to see what was going on, and as they were laying hands on people, they received the people, the believers in that region, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was being poured out through the laying on of hands, and he offered them money for the gift. And that's what would take place in the realm of magicians, is I'll give you money if you will show me how to do that. And Peter said that him and his money were going to perish, that he was harboring bitterness, even though he had been baptized. He was harboring bitterness in his heart, and it was disqualifying him from the ministry, and that him and his money were going to perish. And there's a name for that sin in the body of Christ, and that is simony, S-I-M-O-N-Y. And that is where you believe that you can purchase the free gift of God. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. But I can tell you that when we're walking in spiritual relationship with a healthy dynamic, and we say, look, we want to lay hands on you in an appropriate manner. And you know, I've seen people through the years who've operated in a kind of an abusive manner and tried to force something to happen through their physical. Listen, it is just a point of contact. And, you know, so we normally, if we're going to anoint someone with oil, we'll put a dot of oil on a fingertip, and we'll put the finger on top of their forehead and not apply any pressure, but do apply a great deal of faith. And so, you're not supposed to be hasty in doing that. You're supposed to know the person. And you know, so I would ask you, how many people do you know that are actively participating in your journey of faith, and you're actively participating in their journey of faith? Had a board member that relocated a couple of decades ago. They moved across the state. I talked to the pastor over there, and in the town that they were living in, said, I want to encourage you to have a conversation with these people. They will be a great blessing to your church. And then I asked, you know, the person a few months later, I said, have you ever had a talk with your pastor? And they said, no, we've never been able to talk to him. So I talked to the pastor again, and it's like, look, the people I'm telling you, these are not fly-by-night people. They're not flash in the pans. They're solid believers. And after a number of years, and the pastor never had a conversation with them. They ended up leaving that church and going to another church where the pastor wasn't just interested in the number of people sitting in the chairs, but he was interested in the people and how he could be a blessing to them and they could be a blessing to the church. You say, well, how do you know that happened? He called me. He said, I've got these people that are attending the church. What can you tell me about them? And I told him what a blessing they were. And so it's always been my privilege. Anybody who is showing indications that a call of God may be on their life, I encourage them. I said, look, if the call of God is on your life and you use me as a reference, people are going to ask me questions and I will not lie. So we need to, you know, do this spiritual journey together so that when they say, do you know this person? I say, yes. What can you tell me about them? And I can tell them about the gift of God that is in you and that it's the gift that you keep stirred up in your life. So back to Hebrews chapter 6, because elementary school is still not over, and it goes on to talk about the resurrection of the dead. So when Paul was imprisoned and was on his way to Rome, he was standing before an authority, and he would start talking to him about righteousness and self-control and the judgment that is to come. And the authority was freaked out and didn't want to talk about that, and sent him away because he didn't want to talk anything about the judgment that is to come. Well, I'm here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just a philosophy, it's a supernatural dynamic lifestyle. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is not just what he does, it is who he is. So even though he was crucified on the cross, it was impossible that the grave could hold him because he had committed no sin. He was offering himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of mankind, and he appeased the demands of God the Father. And so he was raised from the dead, okay? And so we are very thankful for that. And when he was resurrected from the dead, if you read in the scriptures and the gospels, you are going to find that the righteous dead that were in the grave, that many of them were also resurrected at the time of his resurrection. When Jesus was resurrected, there was this huge earthquake. The stone was rolled away, and as Carmen says, it bounced a time or two. And he says, "Hey, anyway, I'll move on to a different thought. I don't want to get too far down that rabbit trail." But there was a number of believers who were resurrected. Here's what the gospel tells us: that death does not get the last word in the lives of believers. God does. And so if we die to ourselves, we may experience physical death, but the scriptures promise us that there is going to be a resurrection of believers. So not only were people resurrected when Jesus was resurrected, but there is a future resurrection where the oceans, the grave, the dust, all of those things are going to give up the righteous dead. There is a resurrection of believers where we are going to be in the presence of God for all of eternity. That's something to look forward to, not something to dread. But there is a resurrection of the dead that impacts not just the righteous, but it impacts the ungodly. And that is that even the wicked are going to be resurrected. They're going to stand before a holy God at the great white throne judgment. And then they will bow their knee. They will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then they will be removed from the presence of God for all of eternity. There is no probationary period. There is no second chance after that. It is an eternity separated from God. So I would encourage you, make sure that you have Jesus living in your heart, because you never know what today could bring. You never know when the trumpet is going to sound. You never know when your last breath is going to be, or your last heartbeat, your last cognizant moment. So make sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life, so that, like Paul, we can say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul goes on to talk about the resurrection and says it is such an important element in Christianity that if it were not true, that we would be of all men most miserable. We would have believed a lie, propagated a lie, have gone on, and I'm here to tell you that it is not a lie. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it caused people to put their faith in Jesus. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it caused the disciples to have faith. It caused them to go out and live a bold lifestyle of faith that they had never done before, and they turned the world right side up. May the power of the resurrected Savior not just find a comfortable spot in your mind or in your memory, but may it find a vibrant place in your daily life that says, I am so thankful that God has resurrected himself. He's resurrected others. He promises resurrection for me. He's resurrected relationships. I pray that resurrection life operates in your life and my life. You have a great St. Patrick's Day. We will see you next time right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Until